RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Homemade Broadcast. It is March 8, 2023. This is a live stream coming to you direct from not Mexico. I'm not trapped in Mexico. I'm back in the United States of America. And Lord, am I happy to be here. And I'm glad to not be here by myself because I have the one, the only, Anna Hummel, the face of Tampa radio as far as gals go. As far as gals go, that's what I'll say. The number one talent in all of Tampa Bay. And a happy International Women's Day to you, Anna. And happy, I guess you get a whole month now. So that's great.
My gender.
That's true. I'm sorry.
I just texted you as to why I was maybe a minute or two late. Sorry about that.
Let me look. I try not to look at my phone because I know you hate that when we're doing programs. I was watching a Dr. Phil video on fat acceptance. So that is why we were a few minutes late today. Listen, it's your day. You can do whatever you want. It's International Women's Day. So if you want,
it's your day.
I'm happy to celebrate with you. I just had a, before we get into Mexico, obviously I made it safe. I wasn't one of the people.
God, dude. I mean, I hear they're kidnapping people and killing them.
I wasn't one of the Americans that were kidnapped crossing the border for medical procedures. I went for leisure, not for liposuction. Believe it or not, I'm sure when some people heard that they crossed the border for liposuction, some people went, oh my God, Will's dead. Because that is something I would do, being a caring about how I look and also being cheap. Perhaps maybe I would go cross the border for a procedure in Mexico, but no, alas, no. I just went and drank my head off and ate a bunch.
That was a little scary. And if you would have been shot by rival cartels in some crossfire, that would have been just a super bummer. So I'm glad you made it home safely.
I like to think that if I were put in that scenario, that somehow I'd be able to come up with like a Bert Kreischer type of move. The machine story, you know, are you familiar with that? No,
I am, but I feel like, would there be like a language barrier?
There was with him too. I feel like
a long time, but I know it was a Russian mafia deal.
Yeah.
But
they're making a freaking movie out of it, for God's sake. So I'd like to think that put in that scenario, Bert with the Russian mob, that perhaps me with the Mexican cartel, I could have some sort of similar tale happen. But you know, I'm glad that it wasn't me that was shot. It's terrible what happened. They say just don't go to Mexico now. I'll probably never go again. It sucks. I'm sorry, but Mexico.
Did you not have the time of your life and then to come back and say it sucks? Or is it just because it's so dangerous?
Listen, we got a message from the State Department that said you should probably not go. Mexico's crazy.
When you were in Mexico?
No, just before. They were like, you should really, like, you need to be really careful, is pretty much what it said. I don't remember exactly, but they're like, it's pretty crazy down there. I'm talking like I'm being very casual about it, and they definitely had more real words that they used. But the essence was, you might want to reconsider. It's not great down there.
All of Mexico, not just, it didn't say like except Cancun or Cabo. It said just stay out of the country.
It was just a kind of a broad kind of warning. Now, I was down near the Cancun area, which the warning that we got was for the city of Cancun. I was actually about 30 minutes south of that area where it's just like a bunch of resort. It's Resort Row, pretty much south of Cancun, where it's just these luxurious estates, you know, that people go to. They lock the doors behind you, and you know, there's a few gates you got to go through, and you just like escape the world So you, it's not even really like being in Mexico. It's being on a nice beach with a pool and a bar in another country. I feel like we could have done that, you know, here. We could have went to Siesta Key. We got one of the best beaches in the world, you know, and probably just done that. But you don't get the thrill of, you know, having to go and get a passport and all that stuff. And I sound like this is a free trip for me. So I feel I have to be really, I don't want to sound like an ass. You know,
you
what I mean?
Sound grateful.
I don't want to sound ungrateful. I'm just saying that we could have just done this in Siesta Key or even like Clearwater Beach or something.
But you did have a good time.
Oh, I had a great time. I mean, all it was just boozing and eating. The food was, it's all inclusive, right? So you can get whatever you want. You know, you can get whatever you want to drink. You can get whatever you want to eat. And I was sitting there thinking that this was going to be, I don't know why I thought this, but I like bourbon whiskey and stuff. So I was like, I bet you there's going to be a bunch of like good bourbons that I've been wanting to try that I'll be able to just drink my head off with that. No,
you're Mexico. It's tequila, baby. Like,
yeah, it was tequila, but the best tequila that they had was like Don Julio, which Don Julio is fine. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. But even
happening like local stuff that they made in a jar.
They had like Casa, I think it's Casa Azul or something, but you had to buy
that.
No worms. That's a liability. They don't want to get sued. So it was just like, I had trouble like getting them to give me, I was like, dude, give me Don Julio. Come on. Amigo, senor. And he would just be like, okay. And then they would just pour the garbage and I would just drink it anyways, because
they would just like say, okay. And then pour you.
Yeah. Just a regular. Level. Eventually I was like, I took a $5 bill. I was like, amigo, Don Julio. Anyway. All right. And then he hooked it up. This guy was like very, because I wanted it chilled. And he was like, you don't do it chilled. You do it just, I was like, look, I'll do it that way. I don't care. Everybody else wants it chilled. So
it's just like a faux pas. Like,
I guess he was very passionate. Like, I appreciate it.
Makes you a delicious meal and you put ketchup on it. Like kind of something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I appreciated that about him, but also at the same time, who cares? It doesn't matter what you like. It's about, I didn't pay. A lot of people paid a lot of money for us to be here. So just pour it up.
A lot of people paid for me to be here. I hope you pulled that card.
But it was, Scott asked if I drank the water. Scott, I did drink the water and we did check. Now, it was mostly bottled water. They had a bunch of bottled water that actually drank with the water. They must have had their own purification system that was safe to brush your teeth, safe to shower, all that stuff. So yeah, we double checked on that. And the food was, you know, like I said, it's all inclusive. Oh, by the way, no bourbons. No, they had Jim Beam and that was it. That was disappointing. The food was okay at some points. Like the best I got was like, it's fine. That was about as good as it got.
Really?
Did you get
Mexican food or was it like what kind of food were you eating?
Yeah. So they had a few different places. They had a French restaurant. They had an Italian restaurant. They had a Mexican restaurant and a Japanese restaurant.
All in the resort.
Yeah. And then they had like a poolside cafe. You got like pretty good nachos there. But since it is all you can, you know, whatever you can fit in your body, and there's a lot of fat people there, a lot of fat Americans there, including myself, I feel like they tried to like conserve where they could. So like the nacho cheese was very watery. It tasted like nacho cheese, but it was watery. I got like sea bass one night at the French place, and that was like, this is barely edible, but I'm going to eat it anyways. And some people,
sea was like a seafood kind of guy.
I love some seafood.
Those kind of guy.
Not really fish, but like others, oysters, shrimp, lobster, crab.
Why didn't you do that? You're just trying to be adventurous.
I mean, it was there. It's a small menu always. And it was a special of the day. So I was like, I'll try that. I heard some people did barf from the sea bass. So I don't know. The food was for a 5-star resort. I was like, I wish they would have just done like, we'll give you breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then whatever snacks or, you know, whatever you want in between, you got to buy, because I would rather pay a little extra for like good food. But anyway, again, I feel like I'm being ungrateful. It was a great time, great company. And I'm glad I made it out alive, really. Oh no.
Was that scary when you heard what was going, because were you home when you heard what had happened? Okay, so you were back on American soil. You're not like in Mexico reading CBS News like, oh, interesting.
No, it was not. I was back home at that point. Anna, I should warn you too that I'm having internet problems today, and there's potential that I might just drop. And I don't know if you'll be stuck in here by yourself. I don't know how that works or if the stream will just end. I just saw a warning come up, so hopefully this stays strong. I just bought a modem. And by the way, shout out to Trucker Tony. I was talking about it, and he sent a very sizable donation to buy me a new modem. He paid for it, so that was very awesome of him.
Thank you, Tony.
Unfortunately, Tony, this modem I bought sucks. It sucks. It's just, it's doing the same.
That's not Tony's fault.
I know. It's not Tony's fault. It's my fault.
Reiterate that.
I paid, you know, well, Tony technically paid good money, hundreds of dollars, really, for this modem. I paid the extra cash to make sure I had a good modem, a good connection. My speed's fine. It's not the internet service provider's fault. They advised me that since it's not their modem, that they can't do any tweaking with it. So I need to call the company. I need to call the main Aris is the company, the modem company. So I first of all, I tried to do it myself. I'm not very tech savvy. I get in there. I follow the directions. I can't sign in. It won't let me. Now it locked me out. I tried to sign in too many times. It locked me out. All right, well, let me look up a number for Aris then and call them up. Took forever to find a number. Finally found it. Some Northern European man answers the phone. Heavy accent. Very helpful, though. He's getting me going. We reset the modem. We're going to reset the password, all that. I got it all set up. I go to the address he tells me to. I go to sign in. Won't let me sign in. Doing the same dang thing. So I'm going, I don't know what to do here, sir. It's doing the same thing to me. I can't sign in. I've had customer service reps just like hang up. I've had that happen before. I've never had one just wait me out. Just like stay silent or put me on some sort of hold and not tell me that I was on hold and just let me sit there for like 30 minutes. And I'm sitting there with my earbuds on. I know that we got to do this podcast today, trying to get this fixed and resolved before then. And I'm just going, sir, are you there? Please, are you there? But it just got to a point like he can't do anything until I can sign into this webpage, and I can't sign in. So he's, I guess, just like, I don't know what to do. So I'll just put you on some sort of hold. And yeah. I waited on hold for about 20 minutes after that. And so I'm still having the same problems. I don't know what to do. I think I'm just going to pay the $10 a month for the service provider's router. I didn't want to do that because I hate renting stuff when I can just buy something and then it's mine. But of course, WoW won't do anything because it's not their modem. They can't do anything about it. So I don't know. I guess we'll see if the problem continues. And then hopefully by next week, we'll have a reliable connection either way. But yeah, I appreciated that, though. I appreciated that move of, like, I don't know what to do for you. You're kind of stuck now. I can't just hang up on you. So I'll just wait you out. And he put me on some weird hold until I hung up. He's off the hook. It's not going to register that he hung up on me. It's going to register that I hung up on him.
Right.
So, yeah. So great, great stuff, Aris. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate you.
So yeah, I didn't, all the Mexico stuff went down after I was home. Thank God. Pretty much when I opened Twitter, when I got back home, I didn't have my phone. I had internet, but I didn't have like my phone on or anything. So no phone calls, no text messages. I did access the internet a few times, but it was nice to be unplugged for an entire week.
Good. You need that. I think everybody needs that just to kind of, detach and not be attached to your phone, looking at all the horrible things that are happening all over the globe, and just to kind of enjoy the mediocre / bad sea bass and just drink your life away, you know?
Anna, it got to the point with where I was drinking that people were like impressed with my drinking. Like, I've never seen anybody drink that much. And I was
and
like,
be okay.
Yeah. And I was
that
like,
impressive, Will. I've said that to you before, where you are totally functional. And I remember on multiple occasions being like, yeah, so last night you're like, I remember nothing. I go, really? Because you seemed great. You're like, nope, don't remember anything. The
yeah.
only time I can tell when you are just piss poor drunk is when I'm 100% sober. It's when I can pick up on it. Because other than that, you seem like you could walk on a tightrope. Like, you are just like, just buttoned in and ready for action. You don't stumble, you don't slur. Yeah, your eyes don't really get that red. I mean, it is really impressive, Will. It's also scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish my hobbies were more beneficial to my life. I wish I was better at things that weren't detrimental to my life, like drinking. I wish I was like good at doing like finance.
Like a sport?
Yeah, like knew how to like day trade. Like one of those people I was just naturally good at it. But no, I just got the ability to drink my head off and nothing really happens. So that's kind of good. No hangovers, didn't get hungover at all either, which was pretty awesome. Yeah, people were complimenting me on my ability to drink. I got to the point where those last few days where I didn't feel anything anymore. I was drinking all day. Beers, tequila
shots.
And you
were unable to get drunk?
I didn't feel it in my brain. I felt totally, you know, maybe a little buzzed, but not like wasted. And maybe my body was a little like, sometimes I'd like, whoa, kind of do one of those things. But my brain, I just felt normal. So I guess I'll take the week off booze and kind of reset.
You need to drink alcohol to feel normal now. That's always a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been bad. If we stayed another week, who knows where I'd be at now. Yeah. I'd have to take a tequila shot every morning to kind of function. But, yeah, it was good. Did you enjoy the week off the podcast? You had a Wednesday that was free and open and you got to do whatever you wanted.
God, I don't even know. I probably just did chores. I think the last time that I had the night off or something, I had the explosive diarrhea episode. So fortunately that there was no event, which is always kind of the best event, is that there's nothing to report.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to report there, but you're back now. And what else can you tell me?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this because you had the Wednesday free. You might have more Wednesday free pretty soon, because the end is nigh. I mean, I don't understand how this is sustainable anymore. The ChatGPT software, what do you call that? Artificial intelligent website. I don't know, where you put in prompts and it kind of tells you about whatever you want. Now they have RadioGPT. They've introduced this now. And essentially it's the same concept, but for radio broadcasting. If you're living in Cleveland right now, local company Futuri, which I've never heard of, has launched RadioGPT, the world's first ever radio platform powered by artificial intelligence. It could transform the broadcast industry, enabling companies to cut costs, which obviously we know that they are doing now, currently and desperately, while determining some, if not all, of the station's content. It uses topic pulse technology to scan online news sources and social media and identify topics and trends in local markets. The platform then creates scripts for radio broadcasts, which are delivered on air by AI-generated personalities using the same GPT-3 technology implemented by ChatGPT. The technology can automate other processes as well, including creating website, blog, social media posts, short form videos covering on air content into podcasts. So we can just punch out, like we can just upload a series of podcasts that we have done in the past, scan some local news, and then we can just like AI generate ourselves into whatever the hell this is. Thoughts?
Boo.
So here's what I was thinking. I talked about this years ago. I remember talking with you about this on Stay Woke, as a matter of fact, and saying that this was definitely going to happen. So I nailed this one. I'm going to take the victory lap, spike the football on this. I called this years ago. It's moving fast. this, I feel like it just came out to the public anyway. I'm sure it's been in development for a long period, but it's like here now and it's just exponentially moving at a rapid, rapid pace. I saw another story where AI can take your thoughts. Somehow they probe your brain and it can turn your thoughts into images. And it's about 80% accurate as far as what you're thinking about. It can turn it into an image that it displays on a screen, which is horrifying because I think about really...
A lot of sick stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have conflicting thoughts about this because it kind of, I feel like it intersects at a point of two tenets I hold to be near and dear to my heart. Number one being like, I still think that humans are cool and I don't want them to be humans to be completely outsourced by robots or AI or whatever. Because I don't think that that's good for society to have a bunch of people that, you know, maybe have low, not to say that what we do is, you know, low skill, but, you know, us or Starbucks workers, there's automatic kiosks or Burger King workers or truck drivers with driverless vehicles and stuff like that. If all those jobs get eradicated, that's certainly not good for society. But I do believe in, you know, private enterprise and companies. I don't like government interference when it comes to private enterprise. So then you have this thing like, all right, well, if it's more beneficial for, let's just say Starbucks, right? To instead of having 12 people at a given store making lattes and cleaning the bathrooms, you have two people at the store kind of just overseeing robots doing most of the work. Obviously, that's beneficial for the company. They don't have to pay as many people. Perhaps they can pay the people that do work there more. They can drop the prices for the consumer, so I don't have to pay $8 for coffee. Not that I go there anyways, but you'll understand. But now you have a bunch of people that don't have a job anymore. And that's just one company, so times that by thousands, right? And I feel like companies should be able to do what's in their best interest to do to make money, because usually that's what's best for everyone. But now it's getting to the point where that really won't be the case. So do I... Libertarian Anna want government interference to say, hey, you can't do that, Starbucks, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, you can't do that, because then we're going to have a bunch of hooligans running around in the streets without a job because everything is going to be automated. I know this is stuff that Andrew
Yang
was screaming about with UBI and his fear of everything being automated and people being outsourced by robots and AI and stuff like that. So I feel like this is coming to fruition, just kind of like everybody anticipated. But I feel like I have cognitive dissonance, because obviously I don't think it's good for society. But being the libertarian that I am, I don't really want government interference into private enterprise. So I'm just left with a big question mark in my head of what do I think is the way to go? So I guess I'll volley it back to you and get your thoughts on the matter.
I think that this is going to happen no matter what. And I do think that they knew that and went, well, I don't know if we should do this or not. Like, I don't know if that went through their mind. They're just like, this is going to be an awesome thing. And it is, you know, to a certain degree, it offers a lot of benefits, but it's going to put a lot of people out of a job. And I think that probably the future is going to be some sort of, even though it's counterintuitive to you know, I know your belief system and mine too, there's going to have to be some sort of, like, the future probably is communist. I hate to say it, but I think it probably is that they're going to offer some sort of stipend to stay alive, or send you, even worse, like, that's the best case scenario. Even worse would be, we'll just ship you food, it's bugs, and you can eat it and stay alive. Yeah, it's definitely not going to be steak. it's going to be probably bugs. And you'll have, like, public transport. They'll have, you know, you probably won't have a car. But it's going to be kind of like the Jetsons a little bit.
So but it might be
kind of cool.
No property.
No. You won't have any money. Like, you won't.
I don't have any money now, so that wouldn't be much different.
Yeah, but you probably won't have a job. So you'll be free to kind of do whatever you want.
Good.
You know, you'll live
people
in a
doing something.
They'll print
people
you
doing something.
They'll print you a home with some concrete and a 3D print. Like you'll live in your little tiny home that they want you to live in, and it's going to be fine. You know, and you'll eat your cricket powder that probably tastes okay. You know, and it'll keep you alive. And but it doesn't sound great. But honestly, I don't know what the like what else would happen. Like this is going to take a lot of people's jobs. It's just, there's no way around that. And it's unfortunate. Yeah. I was thinking with the radio stuff though, like this might be good for me and you because I don't know. Well, it might just be a matter of time. It might be good in the short run, but is this radio GPT thing going to be able to hold a conversation like this where you're actually thinking about stuff and having conversation? It might be able to fake it, but I have a feeling it's more like jocks that play music at radio stations that are going to have to worry about this because they,
I don't know. Sorry. Finish your thought.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's probably more just like the weather, 72 degrees. We got Cleveland this weekend. We got the festive Cleveland parade. So that's going to be good. So make sure you get out there. It's a free event. And then here's the Rolling Stones. And then they kind of just cut to more music. And then it's 30 minutes of that. But
I feel like we on Bubba's show, we did play some radio GPT, like a sample or something of what it could sound like. And I feel like much like we've talked about before about the NPTs, is that what it non-player
NPCs? Yeah.
Characters kind of where it's just like, all right, what do you think about police brutality? And then you just spit out something that, you know, Google wants you to say about whatever critical race theory, whatever you're talking about, and you can kind of go on for a minute, and then you could have someone maybe like ask questions that lead you down more of a detailed response or something like that. But I think this AI radio GPT will be able to have a pretty comprehensive artificial conversation with another robot, like another, like two non-player characters having a conversation with one another. I mean, if you've heard radio, not talk radio per se, but you know, people who play like three songs an hour and they have like a radio show, like the Joe Show in the morning. I listen to them. They could easily be robots.
Yeah.
Like
oh.
There's nothing complicated about any thoughts. What's your favorite breakfast cereal? Like stuff like that. TikToks, trends, all that stuff would be very easy to fake. So I feel like we're just a hop and a skip away from full-blown radio GPT.
100%. I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, they could totally do those type of radio shows, no problem. And probably in long form, too. Like, most of radio is fake anyways. Just like anything else, most of the bits that you hear, I don't want to call any of them out, you know, explicitly.
War of the Roses.
You know, there's a lot of things that
farted.
Like I could tell you, for example, like I saw on a job board for one of the companies that they're looking for a writer for a morning show. So like a lot of this stuff is like there's people behind the scenes writing this for these personalities. A lot of these personalities are non-playable characters. They're just, I don't know if good looking is important or not, because I wouldn't say like radio people have to be hot necessarily. Maybe they do now because, you know, with social media and you know, like we got Bone TV, you're on Twitch. So maybe you have to. I don't know how important that is necessarily, but a lot of it's fake anyway. So yeah, I think you could do shows like that where you could just type in whatever the writers are doing, you know, prompts and stuff. They could just put it in some sort of AI and spit out new stuff every day and, you know, cut major costs. But it could be good for like me and stations like the Bone, because that might allow these, because they're going to have a bunch of extra money. They're not going to have any staff anymore. So you can have a station of humans that are doing like something that the Bone's doing, but do it 24 hours and hire, you know, and pay them a decent salary and, you know, have
this
a human
this
channel.
Your dream? This is where you see it going?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking, I was worried at first, but it feels like I don't know if ChatGPT could do stuff like we're doing now or do stuff like we do on the Bone or whatever, or what you do with Bubba. I don't know if it's there. I mean, it might get there real quick. The spontaneity of this type of stuff, you know, you have to think of subject matter, and you have to have a take on that subject matter. And I don't,
or just personal experiences is where I think
that too
might be lacking. You know, when Bubba talks about his sexcapades and things that have happened to him, it might be a bit challenging, at least right now in the kind of elementary stages of this. But as we've seen the last 30 years, I mean, this stuff isn't linear. It's exponential. So the technology is getting better at a faster pace, where it's not even like a straight line. It's like going all the way up that asymptote kind of line, where it's just, it's getting crazy really fast. So I assume that as soon as they get their hands on kind of reliable technology, that it's going to improve very quickly. Which, at, you know, does it matter? Do you have to disclose if you're a robot or not? What if you identify as such? You know, what if, do people even care if they're listening to people that aren't real? Like, is that even going to matter to anybody anymore? I don't know. I don't know. I feel like we hit the crux of the benefits of technology. And I mean, I'm always for advances in like things like medicine, but when it comes to technology, like interface and communication, I feel like we're past the point of it being good for us. Like now we're in the danger zone. Like it's getting too good to the point where, like, I'm sure you've seen changes and we've talked about this before, where like kids aren't getting their driver's license anymore. Like they'll put it off for a couple of years. I mean, you and I are about the same age. That was unfathomable at when I was 16 in 2003 or something. Like, I got my license late, and I got my license a week after I turned 16. All of my friends got it on their birthday, so I was like the one that got it late. So that's, whereas now I see kids that are like 19, 20, and they have no interest in getting a license and the independence because their community is online. So that's kind of odd and scary. And I don't think that humans are built to have those sort of, I don't want to say meaningless interactions, but not very, like, people need eye contact. People need to be in each other's presence. And I feel like it's just not as, it's not as fulfilling. Like, it's kind of giving you little snacks of feeling accepted or belonging to a group. But what humans really need is a meal, right? We need to be in person. We need to talk to each other, maybe tactile contact, things like that. But that's getting substituted for something that's not as good. And I feel like, I mean, we've already seen detrimental effects when it comes to depression, anxiety, all that sort of stuff. And I wouldn't say that's completely unrelated to technology and the direction it's going.
Oh, 100%. I'm listening to, oh, by the way, I don't know, do you do audiobooks?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what I've been doing. Like, I can't sit there and read. I have a really hard time with that.
No attention span to sit and read words.
Yeah, I was making myself do it for a period of time, and then I found that they have audiobooks, which are pretty much podcasts, which I pretty much listen to all day anyway. So there's this app, it's called Libby, and it's, you can kind of pipe into your local library. You got to have a library card, but that's easy to get. And you have access to, it's mostly like just whatever state propaganda, you know, they want to put in the library. So every book on my Goodreads, I've kind of went through to see if they have the audiobook or even see if they have the book period. Like, I'm shooting like 95% no right now. So it's all just whatever. They're like, you can get Barack Obama's book or Michelle Obama's book if you want that, but you can't get, you know, Napoleon's book or something, his autobiography. They got a lot of other like dissident stuff that I'm trying to find. And so you can't do that. But they did have some good stuff. I found The Coddling of the American Mind, which is, what's that guy's name? Oh, you would know him, Anna. He's
not Michael Malice.
It's Jonathan Haidt or Haidt. You probably know.
Why is that familiar?
He's a professor. He's a psychologist. He's been on a bunch of podcasts and stuff you've probably listened to. You definitely run into him a time or two. But his thing was that the book is about why these universities are so, why the kids are the way that they are, essentially. And the main kind of point that I took away so far from it was that this. It's not really millennials. Millennials get a lot of flack, but it's not us. It's the
guy.
That's him. Yep, that's him. Jonathan Haidt. He and he was saying that this generation before us, the iGen or whatever they call them, they're the first ones to really grow up with social media. And they did that.
In like younger than us.
Yeah, the generation right after.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or wait, how does that work?
Before, so I got confused.
After us. Yeah. Got so Gen Z, iGen, whatever they call them.
Zoomer, whatever, yeah.
They're the first ones to kind of grow up online, and that's been very detrimental to their mental health. And he goes into a bunch of rationale and reasoning, you know, for that. And they even use some quotes from Facebook's first president where they talked about using the algorithms to keep the eyeballs on the app, give them that dopamine bumps. And he also said that this is probably going to do detrimental things to human beings because we're using human psychology against them for profit. So they're kind of the first generation to grow up with this technology, and they're not having that human face-to-face interact. It's all done online now, and it's making the kids crazy. And I think that that's quite evident with things that are going on. This is like the first batch of kids that have been on campus that are babies, pretty much. Like, they haven't had much experience, and they're not grown up. That's why they demand the safety. They demand the home of the campus. They don't want, you know, they don't view it as a place where you go to school and you get challenged and like a gymnasium for your brain. They kind of view it as like, I'm left mommy and daddy's house. Now I'm moving into a new house where I need to be kept safe. And so that's where a lot of this stuff is coming from.
You know, as much as I want to blame that on society, and it is partially true that people are getting coddled, especially at places like universities and things like that, I would blame more of the parents.
Well, it's for that. Yeah, that, and then also the teachers too.
Sure, yeah, but I would say, like, first and foremost, like, if you come to the table and, you know, you get in trouble with the teacher or something, like, if I got in trouble at school, my dad wasn't saying, like, going to the teacher and demanding she or he be fired. My dad was whooping my ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where that doesn't seem to be the case anymore, where it's like the child's never wrong, which is just so foreign to me in the way that I grew up. Because if there was ever a bad report from another parent or teacher or just an adult that was looking after me or something, that was not going to go down well for me. Where somehow there's been a shift, there's been a change where now that the child can never be wrong. We can't tell them no. We can't discipline them. We don't want to, like, stifle their creativity because kids are amazing. Meh. It's like, no, kids are horrible. Kids are, like, stock humans, and you have to refine them by teaching them things like manners, patience, discipline. That's not, like, built into the human mind. You have to condition that. You have to harness that. And I feel like people just are looking at the positive aspects of childhood, which is our, you know, you don't have any worries and you're like super creative and like you just run around and like put your finger in your butt and smell it. And it's like, oh, it's so cute. It's so curious. Like, no. Oh, okay. Like, great. But also you're a wild animal and you need to be conditioned to live civilly amongst the others. Right. I've had many interactions with adult humans. I've had interactions with some toddlers and small kids, and never once was a three-year-old like, no, go ahead. Like, that's not something that registers with a small mind. And the sad thing is when they get older, that can persist if they're not taught otherwise. Like, it's not intuitive. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and no doubt, like, helicopter parenting, I don't really know how that kind of evolved either. But, you know... Now, some people roll their eyes at this, but I think it's too just like Marxism in universities and using some of these philosopher, like he even brought up, I was surprised because he's kind of a lefty and he was bringing up there's concepts. Oh, crap. I looked it up because I wanted to look more into it. This is bad podcasting. Let's see. What if I can find it real quick? Repressive tolerance. And that is a concept that it's basically putting us into those tribal groups where you get the good side and the bad side. It's binary. And, you know, you can't give rights to the bad. I don't know. You just look it up.
What is it? Repressive. What was
repressive it? Tolerance. Essentially, it's saying that you can't give human rights to some people because they don't deserve them, which is funny because they call those people, you know, the other side fascists, but they're.
So really, who gets to decide who deserves rights and who doesn't?
Well, it's mostly done today by it's made up by, you know, race. Pretty much. It's a lot of race, more equity.
Oh, is, like that what he's, is that what he's calling for? Is that what he's
describing? No, that's not what he's calling for, but he brings out the concepts and these philosophers who kind of thought about this stuff and how it kind of got into these future, you know, it was the hippies. It was the boomers, you know, who are kind of like teaching at these universities now. They're kind of dying out, but now there's just a new breed and they just have infiltrated entirely. And this thought is pervasive and it's cancerous. So I think that's why you hear like the equity stuff. It's just, equity is just race Marxism. It's
a dirty word.
Yeah. It's communism. But you know, equality, I think everybody's for that, but equality is now a white attitude. So that's bad. And they just kind of shape, you know, however they want it, you know, to be, the shape the language, however they want it to be. So, yeah, I don't know. Repressive tolerance. Look it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Answer some questions for you. And I know a lot of people like, I don't want to bring politics into every episode, but I felt like it was relevant for this one. I don't know.
Well, we can end on this note, but my ear has been salvaged. I don't know if I told you about this. I think I sent you a video.
Yeah, you did.
Where I almost got cauliflower ear. That looks good on women.
Yeah, and that doesn't.
Yeah. So my ear was feeling a bit thick and rubbery. And I wasn't sure why. I thought it was just because like I hit it during jiu-jitsu or something. And thankfully, I had a conversation with a man that I do jiu-jitsu with who has disgusting ears. And I asked him about his disgusting ears without calling it such. And I said, do you do striking? Because I assumed that it was from like hitting, impact. And he's like, no, I don't do striking. And I'm like, huh. So you got that deal from the jiu-jitsu? He's like, yes, it's the rubbing. It's the legs. It's the grabbing. You know, you're grabbing each other's heads and sometimes it rubs on your ear. And as he's talking, I'm like, oh, no. I just thought it was like a bruise. But I was like, I need to see a doctor immediately because I've had this deal for like 3 weeks. So I go to the doctor. My beloved Dr. Dan Diaco, who works on the show, was nice enough to see me in a moment's notice. And he told me, he goes, listen, it could either be, you know, A or B. It could either be the beginning of cauliflower ear or B, I think it's called cellulitis. So he's like, I'm going to just stick a big needle in there and we'll see what we find. It's either going to be pus or blood. So we'll know when we get it. And sure enough, just a bunch of blood. He sucked out a bunch of blood with this. It's like an 18 gauge needle. I'm making up that number. I don't really know. I'm just trying to sound like crazy.
It was a big one.
It was a big needle. But I was a big girl. Pulled out a bunch of blood and he saved my ear.
Phenomenal.
And my relationship. Because my boyfriend made it very clear that he's not dating a chick with cauliflower ear. And to that I say, fair enough.
Well, so, I think that's a perfect way to end this. Being a lady, you know, lady with cauliflower
for Women's Day.
That's phenomenal. So, Anna, thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Google repressive tolerance and enjoy.
And Will, very glad to have you back. And I'm so glad that you weren't murdered while you were trying to get a tummy tuck overseas. So thank you.
Thank you, Anna. See ya. All right, folks, that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please share it with a friend. Give it 5 stars. Head over to hmbradio.com and hit the donate page if you really feel like doing something nice. Thank you, Trucker Tony, again. We'll talk to you soon. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. Have a good one. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.